I wonder how many of us have come in the middle of a conversation. You ever done that? I imagine you have. And maybe you felt like you could, you know, you came in, you made some comment because you thought you knew what was going on, and then they just kind of give you this weird look. What are you talking about? Oh, I heard you talking about we weren't talking about that. You came in the middle of the conversation. That's kind of embarrassing when you do that sometimes. How many of us, you know, who like to read, like Verna is an avid reader, how many of us get a book and we open it up to the middle and we just start reading from the middle of the book? I would imagine nobody does that. You're like, why would you start in the middle of the book? You miss all the beginning of the story. No, we don't read in the middle of the book. We don't start there. We don't try to jump into the middle of a conversation. But somehow, when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to religion, it's okay to start and to stay in the middle. This morning I want to talk about a lesson that I've entitled, Woe to Those Who Start in the Middle. I'll explain what I mean by that in just a little bit throughout this lesson. I wanted to give it in terms of a woe, because we're so familiar with that term in the Bible, though we don't really use it except for when we're riding a horse. But a woe in the Bible did at least three things. Number one, it cautioned. It was God cautioning his people, and usually the idea of it was, listen, I need to draw your attention to this. I need to caution you about this because the world says this is okay, and I want to tell you it's not okay. In fact, it is dangerous to your soul. So a woe cautions. A woe teaches. It teaches us that God says this is not all right. But even though others will say this is good and might practice it, God says no. Learn from this. And thirdly, a woe calls us to understand and maybe even to make a change in our beliefs or in our behavior. Woe to those who start in the middle. In a sense, we all of us start in the middle. All of us start in the middle in the fact that when we are born into a world, into a society, into a family that has already accepted certain beliefs, certain sins maybe, certain traditions, certain family values. We're built into a world, or we come into a world where the world has set upon itself a certain standard. And as a result, most people generally accept the middle. Most people are followers. As one writer put it, people live in herds, and they follow the herd. And so as a result, we often start in the middle. And so people are born into our culture today. Think about the kids that are born into our culture today. They're going to start in the middle. They may not know how we got here, but they're going to grow in a world where technology is everything for them. They're going to live in a world where homosexuality is normal. It's okay. It's bad to say that that's wrong. They're going to be born in the world that accepts abortion, the murder of unborn children, as if it's no big deal. And even in religion, many are going to be born into a religion that starts in the middle and stays in the middle. For a great part of my first 21 years, I started in the middle and I was stuck in the middle. And I didn't realize it until finally someone opened my eyes to the Bible and took me back to the beginning. to be a true Christian, you have to start from the beginning. You've got to get out of the middle and go back to the beginning. If you start and you stay in the middle, you're gonna be stuck in that middle, and you'll never become a Christian, a true Christian. Yesterday was a good example for me of exactly what I wanted to talk to you about this morning. I went to a friend's funeral. And in this particular church, this particular funeral, there were all sorts of traditions, all sorts of things that they did, that they said, that they did to the deceased, to the casket. And I just thought to myself, none of this has anything to do with the Bible. But somehow they, over the years, they got out of the Bible and they added to it and they added to it. And so many people in that church, in that funeral, they just went along with it. They never thought about, is this from God? Does this have any meaning to God? They were people who were starting in the middle and stuck in the middle. And I can relate to that because I was like them for a long time. Until, like I said, someone took me back to the beginning. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 16. Let's give a few examples of this idea of starting and being stuck in the middle. Go to 1 Kings, if you would, chapter 16. 1 Kings chapter 16. You will recall this king and his wife, they were at that period of time, and all the period of the kings, the most evil king and queen Israel had known. But look at his introduction to his reign. In 1 Kings chapter 16, beginning in verse 30, "And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. And it came about as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat. He married Jezebel the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. And he went and he served Baal and worshipped him. And so he erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab also made Asherah. Thus Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel than all the kings who were before him." That's how Ahab makes his introduction to the Bible. It was a trivial thing to provoke the Lord and to worship idols. So I want you to think about those in Israel that were born into Israel in those days. They were born into the middle. They were born in a society where so many people, a lot of it probably out of fear, just simply followed what Ahab and Jezebel did. And as bad as Ahab was, you know Jezebel was worse. Now, what had to happen in order for people to be faithful to God, to survive and overcome these evil days of Ahab and Jezebel? Well, they had to get out of the middle. They had to go back. And isn't it interesting, especially when you read the New Testament, especially when you read the prophets, what do? They go back to the beginning. Yes, sometimes they go back to Adam and Eve and the flood. But a lot of times they go back to what? The Exodus. Where it all began for the nation of Israel. The prophets take them back to the beginning. At a particular time, God said enough is enough with Ahab and Jezebel and their house and what they've done to Israel. And enough is enough for the Israelites who followed blindly and stayed in the middle. And so he brought Jehu, and he anointed Jehu. But before Jehu ever became king, he was kind of God's avenger. And he picked the right man. And you might remember one particular case where he had Jehu kill all of Israel that worshiped Baal. And the way Jehu did this is he set up this great feast where we're going to bring Israel. Everyone from Israel had to come. If they didn't come, they were going to be killed. And they were going to worship Baal in this house. And so he had this great feast, and everybody was excited about it. And then he brought the guard. And he surrounded this temple. And he gave orders that the guard was to go in and to kill everyone in that temple that was bowing the knee to Baal. I mean, the slaughter that day must have been great. It must have been a brutal sight to see. That's what happened to many in Israel, because they just stayed in the middle. Just followed what Ahab and Jezebel told them to do. But at that same time, you might remember Elijah went down to Mount Sinai. Isn't that interesting? Elijah went back to Mount Sinai, back to the beginning, back to where it all started. And he told God, he says, God, I'm the only one left that has not bowed the knee to Baal. That's the way Elijah felt. But God, remember what God said to him? He says, Elijah, you're not the only one. Now get back to where you need to be. I've got work for you to do. And by the way, Elijah, I have 7,000 Israelites who have not bowed the knee to Baal. God's faithful remnant. There were some, even in the days of Ahab and Jezebel, who didn't stay in the middle. Even though they were in the middle, even maybe they started in the middle, they got out of that and they went back and they worshiped God as He truly commanded to be worshiped. The same thing has to be done today. We are on an incredible journey together as a spiritual family, as God's family. And we're on that journey because we are people that got out of the middle and went back to the beginning. And I pray we never forget the importance of that. It's the very foundation of what our family is built on. And as we move forward, starting in the middle. I'll tell you, if a church tells you that you need to do something to please God, don't just blindly do it. You need to find out where that came from. Look, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's look at verse 6. We've gone over this in our Bible class, but let's take a look at it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Paul says, "Now these things, brethren, I figuratively apply to myself and Apollos for your sakes." Look at this. "So that in us you may learn not to exceed what is written, so that no one of you will become arrogant in behalf of one against the other." Not to exceed what is written. Not to go beyond it, he says. And that's done all the time. And I hope that this will renew your faith of getting out of the middle, go back to the beginning. But I want to tell you what, I hope that you'll share this with someone. Someone you know that's starting in the middle and is stuck there. I was part of a church that told me to do this and to do that, to pray this way, to follow this tradition to please God. And finally, thank the Lord, someone opened up the Bible and said, "Where can you find that?" And I couldn't find it. It was something that someone came up with in a progression of creating the middle. And it was so refreshing to know that if God hasn't revealed it, I don't have to worry about it. Because as you know, there's enough of what God has given to us to keep us busy the rest of our life. Starting in the middle, if a preacher tells you a doctrine, you need to learn where that teaching originated from. Look at Galatians, if you would, chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9. Look what Paul says here. He says to the Galatians, but if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so again I say now, if any man is preaching you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. John in 1 John chapter 4 said, test the spirits to see if they are from God. But there are so many people that are just blindly accepting this doctrine or this teaching. If someone says, I have a new way to serve God, you need to ask, why? Matthew chapter 15, verse 3. Matthew 15, verse 3. And Jesus answered and said to them, why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? See, these are all important questions that will keep us out of the middle. They're important questions that will help us to get back to the beginning, that we can see clearly what God started, what God had for us in the beginning. How do we do that? It's the Bible. The Bible continually takes us back to the beginning. When you start teaching people, non-Christians, you will be amazed at how many times you look forward to Acts 2 and go back to Acts 2. When you go to the Old Testament, you start teaching the Old Testament, you constantly are looking forward. When is this going to happen? When is all this coming fulfilled? Acts chapter 2. When you start teaching the New Testament, you're constantly going back to Acts chapter 2. Why? Because Acts chapter 2 is the beginning, the start of the church. The Bible continually takes you back to the beginning. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, this is a great passage for each and every one of us. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Not follow someone blindly, not follow some church tradition, but you work out your salvation. And people need to be taught this concept of not starting in the middle, but going back to the beginning. Buddy Payne, who's been here and preached at least a couple times for us, I remember he does this series where he preaches or teaches this lesson series of creation versus evolution. And I remember he did this, and in fact, he videotaped it. I got the video series at USF, South Florida University. And he was talking in this particular video about their professors, about their teachers, and how they are teaching this evolution as a fact. And he was trying to bring out this idea that we need to be very careful, that we don't just become spoon-fed by our teachers. And you could kind of tell by the reaction of the crowd that they were getting, you know, they were understanding what he was saying, and they were really liking what he had said. But then came this question-answer session, and this young lady got up and asked the question. She goes, you know, I'm just kind of concerned, I'm just kind of worried. It sounds like you're telling us not to trust our teachers. And he says, that's exactly what I'm telling you. At least not blindly. And that's the world we live in, where we have to be careful about who we listen to, even our professors and our teachers. As parents, we need to be telling our kids constantly what they're going to hear in the classroom and why they're going to hear it. I don't think it's wrong for them to hear those things unless that's all they're hearing. You are being fair and balanced. You are the balance in their life. You are the scripture in their life. How are you doing? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Let's bring another example of this. The Reformation movement, Martin Luther, John Calvin, Zwingli, and others like them. Matt and Kyle did a great class last year on this very thing, the Reformation movement, right? And there was so much good that these men, that this movement did for the religious world, for the Catholic Church at that time. I do not want to say that there's nothing good in it. There was a lot of good that came out of it. But there was one big problem with the Reformation movement. What was wrong with it? Well, it started in the middle and it just wanted to reform the middle. The idea was never to get back to the beginning or to restore that church. The idea was to take what they saw as what was wrong with the Catholic Church, the corruption of the Catholic Church, and get rid of that, reform that. But in essence, what ended up is that they were still in the middle. There was doctrines and beliefs and traditions not in the Bible that they accepted, they kept going. And it's not that these men didn't have that idea, that possibility. In fact, there were some in the Restoration movement who thought that's what they should do or that's what they believed that they were doing. For example, Martin E. Marty writes a biography about Martin Luther. And I found this so interesting. He said he, Martin Luther, did not share the claim of some radical colleagues, his words, not mine, that they were overleaping 15 centuries to restore an original pure church. It's not that Martin Luther didn't have that idea. It wasn't that concept wasn't around in the Reformation movement. He rejected it. But there were some whose claim was, let's get back to the original pure church. And so as a result of the Reformation movement, we, I guess, eventually the Catholic Church did get reformed, but it stayed in the middle. And then we had other churches that were formed that may have done things a little bit different, but they all started in the middle. And that's the difference between Reformation, that wants to reform the middle, and Restoration, that wants to get back to the beginning, back to the original pure church. The Reformation's biggest problem is they stayed in the middle. Let's talk about evolution. What was, what is wrong with it? You would say to me this morning, well, the whole thing is flawed. Well, let's look at it from a standpoint as a theory in itself. We all know that there's so much teaching that is so misleading about evolution. There's so much teaching that it's dogmatic, that people think that evolution is science and that creation is blind faith. Would you agree with that? That's what people believe. That's what they accept. There are scientists that will tell you dogmatically it's not a theory, it's fact. And so much of the evidence that is given to our kids in school, in elementary school, in high school, and especially in college, is all starting from the middle. And that's the problem. You see, they don't like to deal with the beginning. Nobody was there. They don't have answers for the beginning. So where do they start? In the middle. They tell us the Big Bang Theory. Okay? What's the Big Bang? Well, all of these gases came around and they formed, and all of a sudden there was this bang, and it all started coming. Well, how did that original matter, how did those gases come to be? They don't tell you that. They start with it in existence. And so in evolution, we don't go to the beginning, we start in the middle as if it all is already in existence. There is very little effort to separate theory from evidence. Opinion from fact. Evolution doesn't like to go back to the beginning because evolution has to believe that something came from nothing. And that's not scientific, is it? There's no science to support that. And so all the confidence of evolution is there because they start and they stay in the middle. If they went back to the beginning, they'd have to admit, this is by faith that we believe this. Just like our belief in an intelligent designer called God, it's faith. Now, both sides can have evidence to it, but both sides, when you go back to the beginning, there's some unanswerable questions. There's some questions of faith. But the problem is evolution is not willing to admit that. I hope that you'll read the article in the bulletin today. It is about, based on this new research, relatively new. Fox News did a report on this research study. The research study actually came out in May of this year. But two scientists did a DNA research and found that this DNA research, the conclusion was that all humans are descendants of the same man and woman, that they can trace back their origination to the same couple. And not only that, but that all of this happened after some catastrophic event that almost wiped out mankind. So I wrote a little article about that research and you know how excited we should be about that. But I think it's one of the most refreshing things, whether this research is good and solid or is there some limits to them, some flaws in that, which a lot of scientists are saying, and I point that out in the article. Some are already putting an evolutionary spin on it. But I think it's refreshing to see at least two scientists who are not creationists be honest enough to say this is what our research showed. This is information, this is evidence that doesn't shock us. It's nice to hear. But whether this is solid or not, it doesn't matter to us. We know we've got the true evidence, and that is God's Word. That God has revealed the very things that this is purporting. So whether this stands or falls, our faith will not, because the true evidence is found in God's Word. So what do we have to do? We've got to go back to the beginning. And as we close this morning, I just want to give us these stories that in the Bible are all about the danger of starting and sticking in the middle. All about going back to the beginning. For example, what about David in that new cart where David wanted to move the Ark of the Covenant? And so what did he do? He stayed in the middle. He started in the middle. He said, I'll get a brand new cart and I'll carry it. And of course, Uzzah reached out and touched the Ark and Uzzah died. God took his life. And look, if you would, at 1 Chronicles 15, because David finally figured out where the fault laid, what he did wrong. And in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12, David gets all the Levites together, especially the priest. And he said to them, "You are the heads of your fathers in the household of the Levites. Consecrate yourselves, both you and your relatives, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place that I prepared for it. Because you did not carry it at the first, the Lord our God made an outburst on us, for we did not seek him according to the ordinance." David, what? He figured out, I've got to get back to the beginning. I've got to get back to where God says, hey, here's the ark, here's how I made it, and not just how I made it. Remember he had the poles in there at the beginning? You make it with these poles. He went back to the original command of how to carry it with the poles, and it's the Levites who carry it. When David went back to the beginning and understood all of that, got out of the middle with this new cart, then everything was a glory to God. The kings of restoration, go to 2 Chronicles 29, verse 25. The kings of restoration were kings that saw the middle and saw how corrupt it was and saw how godly it was. And so they didn't want to reform it. They wanted to restore the kingdom. And this is what Hezekiah did. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 25. In his restoration, he then stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with harps, with lyres, according to the commandment of David and Gad the king's seer and of Nathan the prophet. For the command was from the Lord through his prophets. The Levites stood up with musical instruments of David and the priest with the trumpets. Then Hezekiah gave orders to offer the burnt offering on the altar. When the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord also began with trumpets accompanied by the instruments of David, the king of Israel. He restored the singing, the worship, that was started at the beginning with David, with the beginning of the temple. Hezekiah and the other kings went back to the beginning to fix the middle. And finally, look if you would at John chapter 3, verse 3, and Nicodemus. What was the problem of the Pharisees? What was Jesus constantly battling when it came to the Jewish people? He was dealing with people who had started in the middle and were stuck there. And so here comes Nicodemus, a Pharisee, and verse 3, Jesus answered, said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And look at Nicodemus. Nicodemus, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter his second time to his mother's womb, can he? And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Nicodemus is like, how can I be fleshly born again? Jesus says to him, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about starting all over spiritually. To be born again. Isn't birth a beginning? And so here's Jesus telling a Pharisee, let's go back and start all over. Let's go back and make a new beginning. I hope you'll share this with others. Whether you share the sermon or your words, your thoughts, your ideas, put it in your own words. But this is a lesson that will save souls. There are too many people being led blindly. Too many people thinking that they're being godly because they're starting in the middle. Let's help them get back to the beginning. If this morning there's one here that needs to become a Christian, needs to be baptized for remission of sins, let's start that beginning this morning as together we stand and as we sing.